Well, praise the Lord, folks. What a blessing to have Louise Warner with us tonight. And what I really love about this gal is that when the Lord took her husband home to heaven, she didn't quit serving God. Amen? She's going to the Philippines as a missionary. And boy, oh boy, what a blessing to have her with us today. She's going to do a special for us I think you'll really like. Hymn of the faith around here. Be thou my vision. Amen. And we want to be a blessing to her. Amen. So if you need to designate, of course, use an envelope to designate. Father, we just thank you so much tonight for Louise Warner and for the mission you've called her to in the Philippines. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon her life. Some 40 years of preparation, oh God, now is the time. Bless her, provide every need. And Lord, we thank you for sending her to us today. What a special time spending with her today and learning about her mission. And Lord, we just ask for your holy hand to rest upon her and use her mightily in these last days. Bless us as we give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I already passed it. I didn't know.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord, folks. What a blessing tonight. And it seems like there's so much to learn concerning the great country of the Philippines there. But let's grab our Bibles. Tonight we'll get to our... We'll see if we can twist Louisa's arm and get her to play again after another one for us. Revelation chapter number 8 tonight. Revelation chapter 8. As we continue on in our Sunday evening studies of prophecy, we're studying the tribulation period. And for the tape, we're on tribulation period part 5 tonight. Part 5, the trumpet judgments we'll be looking at. And we won't be long, but here in chapter number 8 we come to tonight, we have the prelude in verses 1 through 6, what we call the prelude to the trumpet judgments. Look with me in chapter 8, and let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. It's Revelation and chapter number 8 tonight, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. We're going to be looking at the trumpet judgments tonight. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word here in Revelation chapter 8. And Father, we thank you that we, as the body and bride of Christ, will not be experiencing the horrors of the tribulation period. We thank you, Lord, that we will be raptured out prior to the commencement of the reign of Antichrist. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you've not appointed us to wrath. And Father, we just love you tonight. We're so grateful for the great salvation that you've provided for us, oh Lord. You've saved us from so great a death. And Lord, we're so thankful for that eternal life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and we ask you to bless your word and teach us what meaneth these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church, tonight. Notice here in verse 1 something very particular. In verse number 1, we read, when he, the angel, had opened, speaking about the Lamb. Only the Lamb was able to open the seals thereof, right? When he, the Lord Jesus Christ, had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, beloved, this is not your normal mode in heaven. Heaven is never silent. Heaven is a place of praise and worship to the great King. Amen? The worship of the living God. But here we find in verse number 1, heaven being silent for 30 minutes. Go with me to chapter 7 for a moment. Look at this. In chapter number 7, look at verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, there in heaven, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. This is the normal activity of heaven. The worship of God. Verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. But here we come to chapter 8. In verse 1, we find a strange silence in heaven. And, beloved, I believe the reason for this silence is because heaven knows what is about to transpire on planet Earth. The wrath of God is about to fall. And look with me here in verse number 2. Something else I want you to notice. In verse 2 we read, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So here in the second verse, we find the angels preparing to sound the trumpet judgments, which will take place where? On planet Earth. Heaven is silent prior to their commencement. Look at verse number 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense." Incense in the Bible, you know, is a type of prayer. Incense ascends, right? Just like our prayers ascend. "That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar." Our God is a consuming what? Fire. That's right. "And cast it into" where? "The earth," verse 5 says. Notice, the fire of God is coming down upon planet Earth, beloved. It's a time of wrath. It's a time of judgment. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Yeah, it's a mega quake. And notice that the prayers, listen carefully, the prayers of the tribulation period martyrs are coming up before God's throne in these verses 3 and 4. And a result of the tribulation period martyrs' prayers, the wrath of God comes down. See? Now go to Revelation chapter 6. Hold your place in 8 again. Look at verse number 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal," and this corresponds to what we just read in chapter 8, "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were beheaded for the," "the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Now, time out, church. Verse number 9 is speaking about somebody being martyred. Who are they and where did they get martyred? Think. We learned this last week. They are tribulation period. Yes, tribulation believers who are killed by the Antichrist armies. Now, notice they were slain on earth, but the scene is in heaven. What is in heaven is their souls. See that in verse number 9? Their souls are under the altar, and they're crying before God. Their bodies, which were slain, are on earth. They haven't got resurrected bodies yet. And they cried, look at it, "and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them, that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren," fellow believers on earth, "that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." See, God is going to allow, beloved, these tribulation period believers to be killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. He's going to allow that. Right now, it's pretty easy to be saved. Especially in America, we don't have persecution in America. We don't know what persecution is. And I pray, Lord, send some persecution to the Church of America. It'll wake us up. Amen? It'll get us busy for God. It'll send out more missionaries. Glory to God. It'll wake the church up. And that's what we need. Now observe here, beloved, that the seven trumpet judgments are executed in God's answering the prayers of his people who were killed by the followers of Antichrist. See that? Back to chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. "And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar." That's the fire of God. "And cast it into the earth." Now, notice the fire of God's wrath being cast upon the earth. And the earth is made to tremble with convulsions and great thunder and lightning from heaven. You see that in verse number 5? Thunderings and voices and lightnings and an earthquake. The wrath of God brings a shaking up of the place. Then in verse number 6, notice, observe the seven angels preparing to sound. In verse number 6, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. It's going to get ugly on planet Earth here. Now, notice the first trumpet judgment. In verse number 7, the first angel, notice this, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth,
and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, observe here, beloved, that exactly one third of all the entire landmass on planet Earth is completely destroyed by the first trumpet judgment. You see that? Go to Exodus chapter 9. Has this occurred in the Bible before? Has God ever done this before? Notice here in Exodus chapter 9. You remember the 10 plagues of Egypt?
Yes.
Those 10 plagues were a picture of the tribulation period, which was to come. And look, notice here in Exodus chapter 9. Pharaoh is a type of Antichrist, right? And the Egypt is a type of the world. And notice here in Exodus chapter 9, look with me at verse number 13. Verse 13, and we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart." It's a picture of the tribulation period here. Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist. "And upon thy servants and upon thy people," he will, "that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." I'm sure glad of that. "For now I will stretch out my hand that I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain, a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, not even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die." God's given a warning. "He that feared the word of the Lord amongst the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord," sounds like the world today, "left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon herb, every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." Now, beloved, we're going to see here, this is no ordinary hail. I saw some hail on CNN this afternoon, Oklahoma, I think it was, a hailstorm. And they were bigger than golf balls, man. They were huge. But that's nothing like what this is going to be. Look here in verse 23 and verse 24. "So there was hail and what? Fire mingled with the hail." Seems we just read that somewhere in Revelation chapter 8. "Very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. And only in the land of Goshen," you know, that's where the people of God's people were dwelling, "where the children of Israel were, there was no hail." Notice here in verse 26 that God's people did not suffer the plague. Amen? You're not going through the tribulation period, beloved. I got good news for you tonight. You are not appointed under wrath. Glory to God. And listen, we are the bride of Christ. Amen? He's taken us out pre-rapture, rapture of the church. Now, the second trumpet judgment back in Revelation chapter 8. Hold your place in Exodus. We're coming back. You'll see an amazing parallel here. In the second trumpet judgment is in verse number 8 of Revelation chapter number 8. Look at it. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8 we read, "And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed." Now, notice here in the second trumpet judgment that oceanic destruction comes to one third of all seas on planet Earth. One third of all ships, including naval vessels, are destroyed. And one third of all fish and sea creatures are killed. Go back with me to Exodus chapter number 7. Look at this. Exodus chapter 7. Has this occurred before on planet Earth when God was angry? Look in Exodus chapter 7. Look with me at verse 14. Verse 14 we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let my people go. And get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments and sorcerers. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink. They were desperate, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river." 7 days, representing 7 years of tribulation upon earth, where you will not have water to drink. If you don't have the mark of the beast, you will not have food to eat. You will be under the wrath of God if you find yourself in the tribulation period. And if you become a believer, which you should, if you find yourself there, you will probably, most likely, be martyred for your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, notice here, in the third trumpet judgment, and back in Revelation, hold your place in Exodus, Revelation chapter number 8, we have the third trumpet judgment taking place. Look at verse 10. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." Now, in the third trumpet judgment, church, this judgment affects the fresh water supply of the earth, causing massive death by dehydration. Notice in verse 10 that the star, notice as in verse 10, the third angel sounded and there fell a great star from heaven. This is no ordinary star. This word star, it's referring to an angel, and he's got a name. His name is Wormwood. And God uses angels in specific judgments, divine judgments, many times in the Bible upon planet Earth. I want to show you this. Look with me in chapter 1. Angels are often in Scripture called stars. In chapter 1 of Revelation, look with me at verse number 20. Jesus Christ, words in red, "The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the what?
Angels.
Angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, I've heard preacher after preacher get up and say, "Oh, those stars, that's the pastor. The pastor's a star." Why is it that other parts of the Bible, the King James Bible, the word pastor is translated pastor, and the word star is translated star? They're spelt different. Amen? They're not the same. And I always say to them, "You ain't no angel, bud." Respectfully, you ain't no angel. You're a sinner just like me. Saved by grace just like me. But they love to call themselves stars. I say, "What do you want, a Hollywood star?" You want to get one of those on the boardwalk in Hollywood? No, they're angels. Jesus says they're angels. They're not pastors, but they're angels. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 2. I want to show you this. Stars in the Bible are often called, angels are often called stars. It's fascinating. In Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. Look with me in verse number 1. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They came, let me just tell you, they came from Babylon. Because when the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar's captivity for 70 years, a man named Daniel was there. And Daniel left a book called the Book of Daniel. And those guys studied it. And they knew Daniel's prophecy, Daniel's 70 weeks. And they knew the timing because Daniel gave them the timing of the birth of Messiah. You remember we studied that. Look at it. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? How did these guys know that a king was born? How did they know that a Messiah was born in Israel? They studied the book of Daniel, folks. Look at it. And for we have seen his what? His what?
Star.
Star. We've seen his star. Look at that. Verse 2. And in the east, and are come to worship him. This is no any ordinary baby. And when Herod the king had heard those things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes on the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, Messiah. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Hosea. Right? And they said unto him, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art thou not the least amongst the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Right. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Okay, but time out, church. We've got a moving star. It's in motion. Amen? Notice here, verse 9. The star which they saw in the east went before them. Folks, can I just tell you plain up? He's not 30,000 feet up. He's leading them. It's an angel, watch. And he went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Okay, this star is now standing over baby Jesus. Okay? It's not a star. It's an angel. Look at it, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I love it. This star is an angel. And this angel was sent to lead those wise men to King Messiah. The baby in the manger. Glory to God. And he did. I love it. Go with me to Numbers 24 quickly. Numbers chapter 24. We have the prophecy of Balaam. Balaam, he's quite a character in the Bible. As you know. In Numbers chapter 24, he kept trying to curse Israel. God wouldn't let him. Amen. There is no divination against Israel. I love it. And no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, beloved. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. I love it. Look with me in Numbers chapter 24. Another star I want you to see. And he took up, verse 15, 24:15. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a what?
Star.
Star. Out of, capital S, out of Jacob. That's Israel. And a scepter, that's a king, shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and shall destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, notice here that this star will come out of Judah, out of Jacob. That's ethnic. Jacob in the Old Testament always refers, always, to ethnic Jews. You know that. Israel. That Messiah would be of the stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Glory to God. The fourth trumpet judgment, back in our text, in Revelation chapter 8. The fourth trumpet judgment sounds in verse 12. Look at it. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened. And I believe there could be a hint here also concerning the fallen angels. You know, stars are angels, so a lot of times not here. But the one, how many of the angels went with Satan? One third. One third. Look at it. And one third of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, the fourth trumpet judgment destroys one third of the earth's light sources, okay? Meaning that he's not saying that one third of the sun is actually destroyed. That would kill the earth. It would be too cold. He's not saying that. He's saying that it is one third of daylight is withheld from reaching the earth, okay? Resulting in 4 hours less daylight and 4 hours less moonlight. Go with me to Exodus chapter 10 again. Exodus chapter 10. It's amazing the corollary you'll find between the plagues of Egypt and the plagues of the tribulation period in Exodus chapter 10. Has this ever occurred before, where God brought darkness on the earth? In Exodus chapter 10, Pharaoh has hardened his heart once again. And we read here in verse 21. Exodus 10, verse 21. Notice this. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. It's a thick darkness. That's what it's going to be during the tribulation period, thick. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had what?
Light.
I love it. The children of the people of God had light in their dwellings. Beloved, you have light in your dwelling. The world is full of a thick, gross darkness. And you have light. You have light. You are a lighthouse. Amen? It's Exodus 10, 20.
Yeah. I have a quick question. The three wise men were following Balaam when they went and looked for the star. Am I right?
No. That was way before. That was way before the wise men came from Babylon. That was, you're talking about, you're mixing up the prophecy of Balaam with the prophecies of Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different time period. But here we have, look at it, verse 23, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Beloved, God wants to use you now as a lighthouse to shine the light of Jesus to this lost world, because they are in darkness. You have the light that they need. Okay? Now, this is during the tribulation period. Everything's going dark. Fifthly, we have the prelude to the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgments. Look at it. Back in our text in Revelation chapter 8, we have the what we call the prelude to the three woe judgments. Look with me in verse 13. Watch those 13s in the Bible. They're usually not good. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the what?
Earth,
by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. He says bad things are about to break on planet Earth. When the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgments blow, oh boy, you gotta get out of Dodge quick, because it's gonna get real ugly down here. If people only knew what was coming, they'd get saved so quick. Because we're gonna see next week that these last three trumpet judgments have demonic elements attached like there's no tomorrow. I mean, there are satanic creatures coming up out of the earth. Nephilim. I mean, unspeakable things are going to happen, folks. Now, notice here that the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgments are especially woeful. Woeful. As awful as the first four were, the last three will be far more severe. And notice that there will be an audible angelic warning. in the atmospheric heavens to all earth dwellers that it's about to become much, much worse on the earth. Listen, church. The reason for this prelude warning is because the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgments, the fifth and sixth of them, are demonic invasions of planet Earth. Demonic invasions, folks, where physical creatures are going to manifest and they're going to do terrible things to men. And the seventh trumpet, listen, the seventh trumpet, as you know, contains the seven vile judgments, the bowl judgments. And when those come, those are the worst of all. That's the great tribulation, the vile judgments, which we'll see partially next week. I think we'll save the woe judgments, the fifth, sixth, and seventh, for next time, beloved. But listen, you and I need, thank you, brother, you and I need to be busier than we've ever been before in warning the lost that the time is running out. And if anyone is going to escape the horrific evil that will permeate the entire world during the tribulation period, they need to get saved now. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm so glad this dear sister's going to the Philippines, because there's not much time. We need to warn the lost that this stuff is coming. This is not in the Bible as filler words. These are divine judgments that will be poured out upon this planet for a Christ-rejecting world. It's going to get very serious. You and I have a job to do. Amen? We need to roll our spiritual sleeves up and get busy for Jesus, because there's not much time. Oh, folks, I'm more excited tonight than I've ever been, because our Lord's coming back. Amen? And we can be ready. We can be ready, watching, and waiting for His return. You'll get a crown just for loving His appearing, praying for Him to come. You're promised a crown. Glory to God. We'll be rewarded for our service. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? He will reward you one day. That's not why we serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. Amen? Father in heaven, how we thank You tonight. How we thank You that You have already saved us from this horrible time period called the tribulation period. Lord, I am so grateful tonight that I'm a child of the King. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. I'm so glad tonight I'm sheltered neath His blood. I'm so thankful tonight the Holy Ghost is in me. The Spirit of the living God and Your Word is my guide map through this life. Father, bless us now as we come to a time of song. We just thank You for a wonderful, wonderful day of worshiping You, of hearing about the great mission field of the Philippines, of being encouraged in our walk of faith by this dear missionary servant. Lord, we're so grateful because we're so blessed tonight. And we give You thanks, Father. We ask You, Lord, to use us. There is one thing the people of this church want in these last days. We want to be used. We want to help spread the gospel worldwide. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the letters we've received already of folks getting saved through the preached word of God on the website in third world countries, Lord, where we might not be able to go physically, but we can go through the website and preach Your word to them. What a privilege, Lord. We're so grateful for it tonight. And we're thankful for this dear missionary gal that she will even go physically to the Philippines and teach them whatsoever saith the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for her, Lord. Bless her ministry. Use her mightily in these last days. Hey, Lord, I'm so glad that You don't need an Arnold Schwarzenegger, some big bodybuilder. You work through little things. Oh, Lord, yes, these weak things of the earth God hath chosen to confound the things which are mighty. I am so thankful for that tonight, Lord. You can use the likes of us. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. We thank You for tonight in Jesus' precious name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Dear sister, can you play another one for us? We just love the sound of that cello. Boy, it's something else. It's such a pretty instrument, too. Just give me a number, and I'll get you there. Oh, what a blessing. Yes, indeed. What an awesome sound it makes, too. fussy.
Well, I don't know. I think it's messed up, so I don't know if that one will...
Glory to God. She's thinking.
Let's see if I can do this.
42?
24.
24? Praise the Lord. Sister.